On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, I want to talk about Aren't You Curious? The Operationally Curious Leader, my latest book. It's been a long time coming, but it's finally here. So let's unpack it a little bit, shall we? Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Howdy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host with the most. But my name is Sam Goodman, I am the host of the Hop Nerd Podcast and from the Hop Nerd LLC and from multiple. How are you supposed to say it if you want to jazz it up like everybody does on the internet? Sam Goodman, author of multiple best-selling books on the safety of work and human and organizational performance, world-renowned and globally recognized keynote speaker and facilitator of human and organizational performance and beyond. Is that how you're supposed to say it? It's something like that. That's how I see everyone else in my kind of world of kind of consulting and speaking. And hey, listen, I'm here for it. Somebody told me a long, long time ago that you have to toot your own horn because nobody's just going around tooting horns. Like nobody's just going around tooting your horn for you. Like it doesn't work like that. No one's going to come toot your horn. So you have to toot it yourself. Some of it seems to be a bit extreme, as I've been poking fun of a lot here recently. I don't know. The internet's a strange place, man. I was just poking at this the other day where it's like everybody, especially in my world, I'm picking on myself with all this, especially in my world, everybody, especially on places like LinkedIn, they all have solved it. Like they have solved safety. They have solved it. I was talking about this. It just hit me where I was talking about this during the AI interview that I just posted over on YouTube. There's two of those, if you're curious, where AI asks me a bunch of interesting questions and I answer them and chat about them. So those are over there at the YouTube channel if you're looking for something to watch, along with a lot of the funny little videos that we post. Most of those find their way to LinkedIn more than anywhere else, but they're over there as well. And they're about to find their way to the video or the video. Yeah, I guess it's the video. The video section of thehopnerd.com. There we go. We're going to get a podcast out of this thing one way or another. And the reason why I put them over on the website eventually when I have time is so you can download them. So like all those little funny videos and all the weird little clips about me talking about hop, like the talking head stuff and all that stuff, I tend to migrate them there eventually, and they are available for download. All those videos are downloadable for free, and I do that because if you need something for one of your presentations, or if you're looking for something for like that next, hey, we're doing a meeting and we want to make it funny, or hey, we're doing this thing where we're talking about the five hop principles, and there you go. You can use me. It saves you a little bit of work if you need it. So go download them, use them. You know the rules. You just use them with for good. That's it. Just use them for good. When you make it better, send it back to me. Send me back the better versions if you make cooler videos. And do me a favor. A little shout out never hurts. that always helps me kind of keep the lights on around here doing what I'm doing. But I guess back to that Sam Goodman. I think all that's just a fancy way of saying that I help people operationalize human and organizational performance. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. And speaking of that, I have a new book, which we'll get to in just a second. It's called Aren't You Curious? The Operationally Curious Leader. It's available over on Amazon. And if you can't find it, because it takes it some days, like it just came out like a couple days ago, if it's not popping up for you through search, You can go find it on the website. Just go to thehopner.com. There's links. Scroll down to the book section. You'll see it there. Or you can click on the blog, and you'll see it there. There'll be a link, at least for everyone here stateside. If you're outside of the United States, you're going to have to find the link for your particular marketplace. That's just how that works. Because if you click on those links, it's going to take you to the U.S. marketplace, and it's going to probably say something like not available in your country. Right? So you have to find it on your particular marketplace, but it's a handy dandy short little book designed for leaders about operational curiosity. And I think hot practitioner safety folks find a lot of value in it too, but it's designed to be a really, really cool tool for your leaders. But before I get too deep into that, let me tell you that I am going to be here, there, and everywhere. By the time I get through this spring and summer, I'm going to be singing, you know, one of my more favorite songs. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the something, something, man. I've been dang, 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 dang. You know the song. It's going to be that because I am kind of going everywhere. I've kept my travel a little intentionally light here in the first half of the year. And by light, I mean that I'm not traveling to multiple states every single week. I'm only going to like one state every single week. I'm only doing like a day here or there every single week instead of doing like 5 days a week in five different states, if I'm lucky, sometimes in several different states and a couple different countries in a week. I've not done that for the past couple months. I've wanted to stay home and work on that book and spend time with Avery and spend time with Jarrell and just get caught up on stuff and make videos and just do stuff I haven't had time to do over about the past year and a half. But that's coming to an end. My travel's already been kind of ramping. I was going to say wrapping. It's not wrapping. It's ramping. Ramping up like crazy. I've been in California for the past week. I'm going to be back in California. And it's continuing to get busy, which is good. That's a good thing. That means I'm out helping a whole bunch of you with your human and organizational performance journey. Now, coming up pretty quick, I'm going to be in Tennessee and then all up and down the East Coast. And as I mentioned, back in California for several trips, I'll be up around Seattle and then some mid-country stopovers here and there. I'll try my best to post about those things, and I try to post about them for a couple reasons. First and foremost, if I'm coming to your neck of the woods, let me know. I'm always more than happy to come have a cup of coffee with you, buy you lunch, hang out, talk about human and organizational performance or anything else that you want to talk about. Just spend some time with you. That's one of the funnest parts of this gig that I have, is getting to see you in your hometown, and you can show me where the best coffee and food is at. That's pretty stinking cool. Now, another reason for that is that if you're seeing that I'm going to be in your neck of the woods or near one of your locations, and you need a hand with human and organizational performance, reach out. I might just have an extra day or two here or there for you, and it saves me a trip, and it saves all of us a little bit of travel, money, time, all those kind of things. How do we say that in our corporate world? It is rather cost efficient. So keep an eye out for those kind of things. And lastly, this rant about being everywhere is to tell you that if you need a hand coming up over the remainder of this spring, summer, or fall, even moving on into winter, let me know and let me know sooner than later. That way, if you have a particular date or something that you're looking at, you don't miss out. I don't have to tell you, nope, so-and-so's already got those dates and they can't move. You know how to get a hold of me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. That's the easiest way. We can set up some time. Most of you know about the kind of services that I provide. And if you don't know, you can find all those over on the website, along with some sweet, sweet, sweet merch. There's a ton of merch stuff. There's a ton of merch stuff in the merch store. Can you believe that? There's a ton. And a whole bunch of newer designs. A whole bunch of cool hats and t-shirts and anything that you might be looking for. Hop and safety merch that does not suck. I'm a hat nerd and a t-shirt nerd. I've recently gotten into these golf rope caps. You know what I'm talking about? Those golf rope caps. I did not think that I would like them, but I really like them. I like them so much that we designed a couple and dropped them in the store. And I just got a new one because we went to the NASCAR race here in Phoenix just a couple weeks ago, a week or so ago. I had not been to a race since I was a little tiny kid. And man, was it cool. Oh, it was cool. I didn't want to leave. I'm already looking at going to another one. When I was a kid, we used to go to Bristol Motor Speedway. It was not far from where I grew up. And it was a hoot, man. It was an absolute hoot. But I hadn't got to go to one since maybe I was 11, 12, maybe 13, something like that. Avery and Jarrell had never been to one, so it was a cool opportunity. They got me. They got me. You know how when you're scrolling through Instagram or something and you see the deal, you know, because the phone's watching you. It knows what you're looking at. It knows where you're at, all this stuff, you know, targeted advertisements. And it said, hey, you know, you live like 20 minutes from the Speedway. Buy this now and you get like 20% off. I took them up on that offer. And for once, I'm really glad that I did. We had an absolute hoot. But while I was there, partaking in the main thing of any large public gathering or event, which the main thing is fried food, beer, and merch. The race is never the main thing. Just any of these events. If you're going for that being the main thing, you're doing it wrong. Right? You're absolutely doing it wrong. So as we were partaking, I was partaking in the beer. Avery was certainly not partaking. I was partaking in a couple nice racetrack beers and fried food and merchandise. I picked up another golf rope cap, and I absolutely freaking love these things. They're over in the merch store if you like them. If not, there's a bunch of the dad caps, which I love those too. That's another one of my go-tos, along with trucker caps and cool t-shirts. And what's neat about those is I designed some of those. Avery's helped me design some of those. And then a lot of those too, I've worked with actual artists to design those. So small artists, which is really stinking neat. So it's a cool way to support those small artists as well. Because as we sell merch, all of that money goes right back into designing basically more more merch. Yeah, so all that stuff's over there along with free resources and the videos and all the other kind of sort of stuff. So before we get started, thanks for being here. Let's jump in and talk about Aren't You Curious, the Operationally Curious Leader. Enjoying the cold brew life. Oh, yeah. And I've been converting people to cold brew. Ray, you know Ray Gonzalez. You saw that probably. He mentioned a post on LinkedIn the other day, and he was enjoying a fine cold brew. I think I got you hooked, Ray. Once you get hooked, you're hooked. You will become a cold brew addict for life. So enjoying some nice cold brew and talking about a new book. Now, I think the first thing to say is that to answer the question, because I've got this question a bunch of when are you writing your next book? Every time I'm at a keynote, every time I do a workshop, anytime I'm out spending time with you guys, I get the messages. I get asked it on podcast. When's the next book coming? When's the next book coming? And the answer has been, it's not. For a really long time. It's not. Nope. Not anytime soon. It'll be here when it gets here, if it ever gets here. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's here, and it's called Aren't You Curious? The Operationally Curious Leader, and it is designed for leaders within our organizations to help them begin to become more operationally curious as leaders themselves, but then to also grow operational curiosity within the organization. So whether you're a hot practitioner or safety person, even if you know all the stuff in this book, which you probably do if you've been around this stuff for a minute, it's a great way to get your leaders those ideas. Yeah, so the book itself starts really, it's a story. It's really sharing a story, and it is a short little read, which is always handy dandy for leaders. I know I would run into that problem when I would sneak books to leaders. I would gift them books left and right, drop them in their chairs. I became the book fairy in our organization and the podcast fairy and all those things, just planting seeds. And you know, if you've led this type of change or if you're leading this type of change, planting those seeds, those conversations with those leaders, absolutely vital if you want to be successful with this change or any other change, this type of innovation, evolution within our reformation, within our organizations. Planting those seeds matters. And one thing I'd always get back from them is like, don't bring me these 400-page books, man. Like, I don't have time. I don't sleep. Like, especially the higher you go, like we pretend like our CEOs and COOs, like real deal ones, not of like make-believe companies, like you pick it on LinkedIn stuff. I've been doing that for a while because LinkedIn's left me frustrated. But not of like 2-person companies and 3-person companies, but like actual companies, like big ones. Like I've got a ton of like CEO and COO and CFO kind of friends. And if you know those folks, or if you are those folks, a lot of you listening are those folks, you know exactly what I mean. But I say we like to think that they're not busy, but they're freaking busy. Like They are freaking busy. Try to go schedule some time on your CEO's calendar. Get them to give you permission to see their calendar. Just send them that request and take a gander at their calendar and see that they're showing up at 5 a.m. and then working for a few hours and having to go have breakfast with some politician somewhere in your local area and then having to go meet with some board of something somewhere and then some charitable giving something somewhere. And then by about 8 p.m., they're making it home. If they're lucky, they're busy, right? They're busy. All of our leaders are busy. Our frontline leaders are busy. Our mid-level leaders are busy. Everyone in our organizations are busy. And so I would get that feedback. It was like, man, give me something quick. So this is a bit of a short book. It's only 120 some odd pages long. It's very clear, very concise. It follows a story, a real story that I was fortunate enough to get to be a part of. And it really focuses on unpacking that story and the choosing to be more operationally curious than go down the pretty normal and expected path of just blame, shame, retrain. Don't really fix much, just tell people to try harder. Now, the other thing that I really want to highlight here is that this book is action-oriented. So it focuses not just on the assumptions that we need to only grow in ourselves, but grow in our organizations, but it focuses on actionable principles and some ideas for what those actions or even some of those conversations can look like, all the way up to the point of like the last chunk of this book is a leadership self-assessment. And it's not like an assessment where it's like, am I a good operator? No, it's not like that kind of assessment. It's an assessment where the person reading the book actually gets to answer some questions around things that really genuinely leave them curious or worried within their organization to help them identify areas to go be operationally curious and learn more. If your organization is doing things like learning teams, it'll help you come up probably with a couple good ideas of places where you should go do some operational learning, like learning teams or just having some better, more interesting questions. And if your organization is not doing learning teams, I can help with that. Yeah, if that's a path you want to go down, get a hold of me, thehopnerd@gmail.com. We can come in and do our awesome two-day hop and operational learning workshop, do in-the-field practical stuff with you. Like, it's a blast, y'all. It's a blast. thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you're not doing that, and if you are and you're looking for somebody to come coach and help you grow those things even farther, again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Just check out thehopnerd.com to see some of the services and some of the things that I can help you with. It's all over there on the website. But that self-assessment is pretty stinking great. It helps you identify that area, those areas, and then prioritize those areas a bit. And now you've got a place to go start. But not only does the book give you some of those places to start, like actually writing in the book, which is kind of neat, we've included, I've got to get out of this solopreneur we thing. I have included 40, 50, 60, I don't know how many there are. It's less than 60, probably more than 40, operationally curious conversation starters from our card decks and from the Operationally Curious Learning Journal. It's right there in the back of the book. So not only does it help them identify a couple of those areas, more than a handful of areas to go start, because that's a question I get from leaders around pre-event operational learning in particular. Where? How do I know where to start? I can just say, well, just pick a spot, because that's kind of the right answer. What are you worried about? Where do you think your next event's going to happen? What keeps you up at night? Those are the places to start. It turns that into an actual action where they can write those things down, prioritize those things. Now they have a little bit of a list where they can start, but we don't just leave them hanging there. We give them those operationally curious conversation starters that they can then use to go be curious, dig deeper, seek to understand, explore, and more than likely find some really, really great improvement opportunities along the way and co-create those improvement opportunities with those nearest to the work. So it's easy peasy, lemon squeezy, handy dandy designed for leaders, and it moves towards action. It's not just talking about the how to think. There is some of that because I don't like this thing that we kind of move towards. It's like, it's all going to be action oriented because everything's 100% action. Like, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it's a big conversation in this world. It's like, it's all talking. That's just not true. But if you do all action and no all acting, no thinky, You're going to be really disappointed with your actions pretty soon. You know, like, there's got to be some thinky involved in this stuff too. Not only the thinky, but the howie thinky kind of part. So there is conversation in the book around some better assumptions. But speaking of which, I'm just going to pull it up. I'm going to be completely transparent, vulnerable, honest with you here, and tell you that I'm waiting on my copy of this book right now. I mean, I have the copy. Like, I mean, I have, like, you know, the manuscript. Obviously, I wrote the freaking book. But I always want, like, the physical book. I don't have the physical copy in my hands. And so back to the transparent, vulnerable, honest, secret time. I have my podcast recording software pulled up in one monitor here on my desk. And on the other monitor, right in eyeshot, I have the Amazon tracking. I'm watching. It's supposed to be delivered anytime today. It's not quite got to the point to where the Amazon tracking has turned to the five stops away. Four stops away. It's not quite gotten to the countdown part. If it does, I'll let you know. We'll track this a bit together in real time. But I'm amped up to get my hands on the physical copy. So I can't hold it up and make the book sounds and all the ASMR stuff that's so lovely for the pod. But I can pull up the PDF copy of my manuscript here and tell you some of the key assumptions that we share. So I'm sorry if I give you any dead air while I'm doing this. But we're doing this in real time. You know, these things aren't scripted. We just kind of go where we go. But a couple of those key assumptions is almost there, right here. We start with this idea that people show up to work to do their best work. That's assumption number one. It's pretty counter to the way many of us have approached things, especially with more traditional, dare I say traditional, the word you're not supposed to say anymore, dare I say traditional approaches, where we viewed people as turds. You know what I'm talking about? Like, no, people are mostly bad. People mostly suck. People are mostly terrible. Everyone except for me, that is. Of course, it's never you. Is everyone else around me sucks. Our pesky employees, they suck. They're terrible. They're just here causing that. No, we know that's crap. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't know that's crap. And the point here with this assumption, and more of an actionable insight, is that if you think your people suck, you think that they're turds, you think that they don't care, you think that they're just terrible, how likely are you to learn from those folks? Really, to go out and deliberately learn from those folks, to seek to understand, to seek to gain operational information from them, to seek to tap into their stories or their lived experience, to try to gain operational learning and improvement from them. The answer, simply put, is you're not, because why would you? They suck. They're turds. And I don't even think they know that they're sucky turds because they don't care. You're not. Of course you're not. So we start with a more accurate assumption. The more accurate assumption is that most people show up to work to do a good job. That people usually don't just show up to work to do a good job. People show up to work to do their best work. And even on their worst days, even on our worst days as people, we don't show up to work to cause harm. We don't show up to work to get killed. We don't show up to work to do any of those things. We show up at the very least to survive, to do no harm, and to hopefully get home unscathed. So we draw the more accurate assumption right at the beginning of this book that people show up to work to do their best work. The next assumption that we talk about, which is very hop-esque, which is pop, is this. Although I do think I need to add that this is not a safety book and this is not a hop book. This is a leadership curiosity book. This is a learn and improve book. No matter what you're trying to learn and improve about or with, it's not pigeonholed into hop or safety or anything else. This is the leadership book. With this more hop-esque principle is that errors, mistakes, and even, I like to add this in there, which gets me some heat, because we really like to think that people are bad. It's not true. Even well-intentioned violations are normal. And you could take well-intentioned out of that and just say violations. I think well-intentioned just softens it up maybe a little bit. But even violations are almost always done with good intent. Like, it's not like I'm going out breaking the rules because I want to murder my best friend, Bob. No, like, me and Bob are trying to figure this out. We're put in shit circumstances, and that rule doesn't work. Like, literally, if I follow that rule, like, work will stop. I'm violating, sure, and I know, because we like to throw that question in there. Did they know about the rule? Did we train them on the rule? Did they sign this fancy piece of freaking paper that says that they knew about the rule? Were they wearing their rules around their neck on their lanyard card? Because we give them the 10 golden commandment rules that they must wear around their lanyard card. Well, then they knew about this, so they chose to violate, which makes this a willful violation, which means that we need to fire them. Okay. Dumb. Like, intent matters, y'all. We know this. Yeah, of course we know this. But those well-intended violations, these errors, these mistakes, we can't view these as career-ending offenses. Not if our goal is to be better than yesterday. Not if our goal is to learn and improve. Not if our goal is to innovate. And like wildly, we can't view these things as career-ending offenses. They have to be learning opportunities. So that's the next assumption that we draw in the book. The next assumption that we apply here is this, is that people do things that make sense to them. Of course. Yeah, people make sense to them. People do things that make sense to them in a particular moment in time. They make sense to them until they suddenly don't make sense anymore. And this is one of the most crucial assumptions I think we can really focus on. Because when we encounter actions that seem illogical or irrational, when we encounter violations or lapses in judgment, we like to judge ourselves. We move swiftly towards judgment, very fast towards judgment. And it's normal for us to move towards judgment. We're people too, by the way. But the point is that we have to understand that we can't stay there. We have to process those initial feelings of judgment. We need to process them fast and move towards something more valuable, which is learning. We have to understand that nearly anything can seem dumb, ridiculous, or just plain stupid if we get far enough away from the work. The point here is that we process that judgment, we get past it, we go more towards learning. We move away from judgment and we move towards learning. And instead of saying who's to blame, we start to ask, how did this make sense? We choose to learn from those nearest to the work. So, yep, we talk about some of those better assumptions, with the key point here being that operational curiosity is either built or dismantled by the assumptions that we carry. The book really moves towards this point that, yeah, like, operational curiosity is great. When we exercise operational curiosity, it shows people that we care, that we give a damn, that when we're genuinely curious about what people do and the struggles they face while they're doing it, people tend to start to respect us for that, and they start to tend to move trust in our direction, especially when we take that stuff seriously and we take action with that information, positive action with what we've learned. But it's not just about that. It's also about gaining operational information so we as leaders can make better decisions. Instead of making operational best guesses, we can make true operational decisions based on real, non-fluffy, unmassaged information. So there's this key point that I really like to move towards, that you wrap all that together. What's it saying is that operational curiosity is about being a damn good leader. And damn good leaders need damn good information, which moves the book into some key principles of the practice of operational curiosity, which are a bit edgy. Ooh, they're a bit edgy. they're put in Sam speak. They're put in the Hopner speak. And some of those key ideas that I like to cover, and again, these are all actionable principles. We unpack this action in the book. Admit that you don't know shit. Let me talk about these first before I give you any details on them. But admit you don't know shit. Next, ask questions that spark conversation. Up next, listen and actually give a damn. Next, don't just talk, do. And last, into this idea of growing operational curiosity within your organization, make curiosity contagious. Now, let me briefly go through these. I don't want to just like read stuff to you or get too deep, because I don't want to take away any of the thunder from the book for you. But it's this: admit that you don't know shit. When we first hear that, it feels a bit naughty and maybe even wrong. But really what this means, what this is that operational curiosity begins with a very radical act of humility, especially for us as leaders, admitting that we don't have all the answers. Or, as I like to put it very bluntly, admitting that you don't know shit. It feels wrong because, my God, we're leaders. Are we supposed to be the great wise ones? Are we not supposed to be the final authority and have all of the answers? My God. I talk a lot about this in the book, kind of where some of that stuff comes from and how we continue to prop up this idea of the all-knowing leader, and really this idea of moving towards being the seeker more than the knower, which, again, it's in there. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. But the point that I want to share with you here is that, you know what, we do have answers. as leaders, we have answers, and we have good answers, and even sometimes we have great answers, but we don't have all the answers. Really and truly, we only have a piece of the answer. Our answers are informed by things that we leaders tend to be paying attention to and working on and working with. These things that have to do with like mission, vision, resources, direction of the organization, things that are just cresting the horizon, like those kind of things. Where those nearest to the work, those ones that truly understand the intricacies of our day-to-day operations, you know, they have operational information. They have know-how, expertise. They know that you got to beat on that thing with a hammer to get it work. They have all of those different pieces. So what I'm saying is it's not that we don't have valuable input as leaders. It's that our – What really got me with this one, y'all – is the Air Force base is doing some wild stuff out there today. So I keep like looking over my shoulder, trying to ooh, cool airplanes. And then trying to make sure the rumble's not coming through too loud for you. So maybe the Cobra. Hold on one more. There we go. Ready? Reset. There we go. Here we go. It's not that we don't have valuable input or answers. It's that our input, our answers, it's incomplete without theirs. It's only half of the answers. That's the whole thing here with admitting that we don't know shit, is it opens us up to learn, right? So again, these chapters unpack how you actually do that. The other one is asking questions that spark conversation, and it really focuses on how we ask curiosity-driven conversations and a bit on listening, and really moves us towards this idea of not asking questions to get answers, but asking questions that encourage people, learning-focused questions that encourage folks to teach us, to share their stories with us, really encouraging people to tell us what they need to tell us rather than encouraging them to tell us what they think we want to hear. The other one is listening and actually giving a damn. And this book is designed for leaders. As you kind of move towards this chapter, it talks about asking questions and shutting up and, you know, easy, hard things like not trying to fill the void with just your voice as a leader, and where some of these ideas come from that we think we always need to be talking, because if we're not always talking, if we're not always giving answers, we seem like we're incompetent or that we're just playing dumb as leaders, and we can't do that. But we have to remember that silence isn't the enemy when we're asking questions and learning. It's an opportunity. Because silence, as we practice soak time with learning teams, silence, these brief moments of silence, even in our conversations, are opportunities to process, think, ponder, and reflect. So as we kind of move through this idea of listening and actually giving a damn, moving towards more of the giving a damn part, is about empowering the people that you lead to shape their work world and contribute to the organization's all overall success. Empowering them not through just talk, but support and resources, empowering them by giving them the authority and the ability to go make changes, to go their way and figure things out, even if it means stepping outside of our comfort zone as a leader. Don't just talk, do. Really focused on action, okay? We've had the conversations. What now? Right? We said this a bit earlier, that if we want people to know that we give a damn, we have to take their input not only seriously to view it as valid and valuable, but to act upon it. I also unpack a bit of this idea here that sometimes people give us really bad ideas. I know I've had a few of them, just as you have. Maybe I've had more than others. So we get this thing kind of misconstrued that just because information and ideas for improvement come from the front line, that thou shalt must be acted upon always. That's just not true. Sometimes that's perfectly okay. And not every idea is a great idea. And some are even really stinking bad. And occasionally really, really, really bad. And sometimes we have really valid reasons for not choosing. For choosing to not pursue a particular idea or strategy. And sometimes we genuinely lack time and resources, and I don't have a last dollar to give you. We can't do that right now, maybe later. Or the answer is always going to be no. Sometimes when we combine our leadership answers with our frontline answers, pull those things two together into a pretty accurate understanding of operational reality, The right answer is no, or at the very least, sometimes it's not right now. And again, that is absolutely fine, because choosing not to pursue, there we go, I get my words out here right. Choosing not to pursue an idea for good reasons is probably the best decision you can make in those moments. But here's what's not okay, because this is where we screw it up. Here's what's not okay at all, and really, really, really bad. Going out, practicing our operational curiosity as a leader or as anything else, learning from those closest to the work, deciding not to move forward with a particular improvement idea, and then failing to explain why. Leaving those who shared their knowledge, know-how, expertise, their stories, those folks that got vulnerable with us, shared scary information or inconvenient operational truths, leaving them hanging. Not good. Yeah, even if you don't pursue an idea, you still owe people an answer. You still owe people an explanation, and a good one at that. Choosing not to move forward with an idea doesn't mean that there's no action. It just means there's a different action that you have to take. Follow up, explain, make it make sense. If you don't, you'll regret it. You'll severely damage that little bit of trust that you grew. You'll severely damage that little bit of respect that you've grown with those folks. And it's highly unlikely that you'll learn from those nearest to the work in the near future, at least. You will have to invest a significant amount of time and effort into repairing the damage you caused by leaving them hanging. So you don't leave them hanging. So the whole thing here with don't just talk, do, is exactly that. This kind of actionable principle of, yep, we're not just having these conversations. We're doing stuff with it. The last one in kind of the actionable principles part of this book is making curiosity contagious. And I won't get too deep because we're rolling, pushing towards 40 minutes already. My God, where does the time go? But the focus here is on how you grow operational curiosity within your organization. Right? It's this kind of key little formula that I've been sharing around a bunch, which is this: make curiosity make sense and make it possible. Make it make sense and make it possible. I get this question a bunch in all the workshops and all the places that I go and all the keynotes. We want to start doing pre-event operational learning, but we don't know how. Okay, well, here's how. Well, we can't do that. Nothing bad's happened. So why would we invest time and resources into learning? Well, you just answered your question. You just told me that you actually don't value pre-event operational learning, that you want to wait until bad things happen to do pre-event operational learning. Here's the question, right? The meaningful question that we have to answer is, do we value learning and improvement pre-event? Because if you genuinely say yes, if you mean that yes, you will invest time and resources into doing it. This stuff just doesn't magically happen. It just doesn't come about for free. Like, you can't just wave your wand and go, boom, now we are pre-event op. Nope, you actually have to pull people offline and learn from them. Yes, of course you do. Like, yeah. Like, yep, you got to pull Bob down here from maintenance, and you got to pull Jane over from the electrical shop, and yep, you got to pull those folks together, and you got to learn from them. Of course you do. Yep, at the very least, we've got to go out and spend time with them, ask them interesting. Yep, you got to do those things. We have to make it make sense in our organization to practice operational curiosity, talking about clearly the benefits, the how-to, the where we do this kind of stuff, this idea that it's far better to go out and learn and start to discover these faint signals before things go wrong than waiting for loud signals, sometimes catastrophically loud signals that things have gone wrong. And then to the other side of that, this idea that you have to actually make it possible, that we cannot just wheel things into existence. Back to the conversation we were just having. Yes, it means that you are going to have to take time. Yes, it means that you are going to have to pay people to go and hang out in a room and do a learning team before an event happens. Yeah, that's what it means. If you value it, you'll do it. If you don't value it, you won't. Yes, if you truly value operational curiosity and learning, and you value that pre-event just as much, and you should value it more, if not just as much more than you do post-event learning, you will prioritize it with just as much focus, effort, time, and resources as you do any other mission-critical item in your business. So make it make sense. Make it possible. So there you go. I told you already that, and there's some more stuff kind of peppered in those pages, 120 some odd pages of a nice little shorty book for leaders around operational curiosity and practicing operational curiosity and growing operational curiosity, which then ends in the where to learn self-assessment, which then beyond that gives our leaders a whole bunch of operationally curious questions from our card decks, our starting points, operationally curious card decks, which if you don't have those, go check them out at startingpointcards.com or thehopner.com and click on the little tab at the top if you want to get your hands on those card decks. They are handy. Dandy. I was just looking at them the other day, and there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of those card decks out in people's work worlds. I have created to help organizations out of this little micro business of mine, the Hot Nerd LLC. Beyond spending time with folks, beyond doing that, like hands-on, in-person kind of work, the thing that has had the absolute biggest impact in organizations has been those card decks. Yeah, they've been those card decks. Now, I will tell you, we've got the original little playing card sizes over there in the little paper box. I got feedback from you guys that, like, these are great, but the box wears out. They're kind of small. Some people like them because they're small. They're the size of a card deck. They fit right in your pocket. So we took that feedback and we developed the expanded deck, which is in a tarot card size, which if you don't know, tarot card is a wee bit bigger. Yeah, they're just a little bit longer, a little bit larger card, but those come in a metal carrying case, which is sweet. I love mine. They are so handy. A little bit bigger, still fit in your pocket, easily fit in your bag, no problem. And then extra questions. So whichever one you're looking at, both of those are good. Plus we have funky meeting starters and all kinds of other stuff over there for starting meetings off on a more curious and fun foot. So all that stuff is over there at startingpointcards.com or thehotner.com and click starting points at the top. We have the learning journals, which have the questions. It's basically the questions in journal form. So those are over on Amazon as well. And you'll find them with all the other books that we mentioned, like 10 Ideas. And this book that we've been talking about so much. But we've included, I've included cold brew. There's a whole bunch of those questions in the back of this book. So the whole point is, to wrap this thing up for you, the book is focused on a story of going down this path of operational curiosity, learning, and improvement. We unpack those key better assumptions. I get in trouble for calling them better assumptions because better than what? Better than being a shithead. How about that? Better than viewing blame as like the best thing since sliced bread and not understanding all the negative side effects that come out of that. Maybe better than viewing everyone in our world as just god-awful people and that we are the holy ones. Maybe better than all that. But to be more accurate, we'll just call them more accurate assumptions. How about that? More accurate assumptions about the people that make up our work world. So we start there with those more accurate assumptions, weaving this story throughout the book, moving into actionable principles that have been placed into Sam Speak. They are raw a bit. They are honest, but they are actionable. And then moving towards wrapping up the book and then the real deal action, the where to learn self-assessment, giving our leaders and whoever reads this book several places to start to go ask more interesting questions, and then giving them those questions to begin, at least to begin with. They shouldn't stop with those questions, but those are a great place to start. The whole point is that we're lowering that barrier to entry. The whole point is that we're making it easier to understand what it means to be an operationally curious leader and the benefits that you get out of being an operationally curious leader. We're giving you some great ideas on actions to take, and then giving you something that you can actually go do. So you can find the book over on Amazon. I've tried to keep the price on it as absolutely low ball as possible. It's like $12 or something like that right now over on Amazon. Again, if you can't find it, go to the website. And if you're outside the U.S., you're gonna have to find it in your market. It takes that search thing a little bit of time, because if you are going to go check it out and you're sitting in Australia right now, it's going to show it's not available. You've got to find it in the Australian marketplace, Amazon.au. Am I right? Is that right? Something like that. You've got to find it there. So yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think about it. Do me a favor. Just like with the pod, just like with anything else that we do, leave it a 5-star review. It helps so stinking much to help us continue to take this message far and wide. I get star-bombed by folks that are, I think they call themselves competitors to me, I think. where they like to go in and like nag. They like to just nag everything. Yeah, so help me counter some of that, if not for anything else. If you don't just hate what I've got going on here, help me counter some of the neg bombing that happens with some of the products. It's a great idea, but I wish it was my idea, so I'm going to give them a half a star. Yeah, don't help me maybe counter some of that. Go check it out. Again, thehopnerd.com. Let me know your thoughts on it, thehopnerd@gmail.com, if you need a hand on your hop journey. My calendar is always getting full, but I want to make time to come hang with you. I'd love to do that next keynote with you. I'd love to do that next workshop with you. thehopnerd@gmail.com. If you're curious about learning more about any of those services, thehopnerd.com. Basically, what I'm telling you is everything is either thehopnerd.com or thehopnerd@gmail.com. Make sure you can follow along everywhere that you follow along. Like, share, subscribe, do all that kind of stuff with our posts. It literally takes half a second and it helps us way more than you'd ever think. It quite literally helps us keep. Oh, my alarm's going off saying that I've got to do something. Hold on. This is how you know these aren't scripted. I'm not going to edit that out. Where was I at? I'll leave it right here. Love you. Mean it. Hope wherever you find yourself in this big, wild, and wacky world, that things are going absolutely great for you. And if they're not, and you need somebody to talk about it with, try my best. I'm here for you. Happy to get on a call and chat with you anytime. Really, about anything. Yeah, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Happy to catch up with you. Until next time, love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.